And now, live from the Rowe Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
It is 7:06. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RoeAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. David Jones is in the house along with Dee Dee Richardson. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Maine. How are we doing today?
We are fabulous. Yeah. And this music can only mean one thing.
Gotta be.
It is the man, the myth, the legend. The man with a PhD in economics, we call him Dr. Peter Earle, an economist with the American Institute for Economic Research. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, what a way to bring me in. Thank you so much.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. It's really changed. I get so hyped up when I hear that I'm just ready to just start spewing economics all over the place.
Well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that and I'm gonna cut a short one for you, send it to you, and when you walk in the house, you can have your wife play that for you.
That's right.
She'll love that.
That's the entrance when you walk in the house. She's got to have that on for you, along with your martini in hand, right? Martini, slippers, pipe, right?
Why not? That's the American dream, right?
It's some American dream.
By the way, I see you're a big Yankees fan.
Uh-oh.
That is true. For my sins, and we're all a product of our environment on some level or another. But I've been a Yankees fan for a long time. Was going and seeing them in the late 70s as a kid, and
so you saw the great Reggie Jackson play.
Oh, I sure did. I saw Richie Jackson play. I saw Thurman Munson. Mm. I saw Yogi Berra catching at an old timers game.
Oh, you're kidding me! Wow,
that's early '80s though. But I mean, the thing, I'll tell you something about that, though, is I was a huge baseball fan for many years. I sort of drifted away from it, but I always sort of kept watching. But what really brought me back in a big way was the pandemic.
When
the pandemic started, really sort of looking for some normalcy, I just got sucked back into it. And I am probably a bigger baseball fan broadly now than I've ever been before.
Yeah, well, and you've got the Yankees and the Dodgers. How iconic is that in the World Series? You got Shohei Ohtani for the Dodgers. You've got Aaron Judge for the Yankees. I mean, you got two titans of baseball right now. And, this is incredible that these two teams are playing against each other. This is old school baseball going back to the days of the Brooklyn Dodgers. You know, they called them the bums, but they finally won in 55, and, that turned it all around. But you saw Reggie play. Reggie Jackson, Tom Seaver, and Jackie Robinson are my three favorite players all time. Jackie, I think, is one of the top five Americans that ever lived for all that he did for this country, not just in a baseball uniform, but what he also did when he was in the military and how he stood up for himself.
Yep, amazing human being. A really great American on all levels.
Yeah, no doubt. So this is fabulous. So, it's the 41st time the Yankees have gone to the World Series.
Yeah, I know. I got one of them in my household. Kevin's a Yankees fan. He comes from Garden City. So, of course, he's a Yankees fan. But, yeah, I got to hear it every day now. But I was hoping we'd have a Subway World Series again?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Was it going to be old New York or new New York? And, you know, I was hoping I'm going to be meeting with some donors and giving a talk in Arizona next week. And I was hoping it would be a Subway Series, but I might be able to try to scalp a ticket this weekend. But because it's going to start in L.A. and then come back to New York, I'm going to miss the whole thing. I did go to the series in 2009, which is like a bucket list item. So yeah. I'll miss this one, but I'll be watching on TV.
My brother and I went to the Game 2 of 2007 World Series, Red Sox and the Colorado Rockies. That was the year that you might remember if you followed baseball then, that that's when the bullpen was playing the drums on the roof of the bullpen, you know, and it was just so crazy. And they weren't actual drums. They were using the roof of the bullpen as drums, and they were beaten. And it was just, the whole thing was amazing. We sat next to a state trooper from New Jersey. We sat in the front row of the bleachers and sat next to a state trooper from New Jersey and his son. He picked him up from school, and they drove as fast as they could to get to the game that night.
Really?
It was a really wonderful experience to be there with him. And the young man was probably seventh grade or something like that, sitting there with his dad. He had his glove. I kept hoping a ball would come, and it didn't. But what an amazing experience. James Taylor, JT, who's one of my favorites ever, they said, James Taylor's here tonight to perform the national anthem. And I will say that when I heard that, I was like, oh, I don't know about that. Well, he sang it as a love song, and it wasn't just me crying.
Really?
Oh, it was so beautiful. I mean,
that's got to be on
he
sang, YouTube. Huh?
Oh, he sang it as a love song, and it was so beautiful. I mean, I was just crying the whole time. I mean, it really, you could hear the heart of James Taylor singing the national anthem the way he sang it. It was just so beautiful, and what a night it was. And I was there with my brother. We had made a pact that we would go to the Red Sox World Series at Fenway in 1975. That was the year Fisk hit the home run, and our parents had let us stay up and watch it. So we made a pact we would do it, and, you know, Jim sold a huge property.
Huge.
And he called me up and he said, hey, I just sold a huge property. I want to get some tickets. Let's go to the World Series and fulfill that promise.
Yeah.
So
well,
we
that's
did.
That's nice.
That's
awesome. Yeah. I have to say, I'm not like most Yankee fans in that I love I love Fenway. It's one of my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
It's iconic.
One of my great memories. One of my great memories was, I think it was opening day 1994. It was either 93 or 94. So we go to Yankee Stadium for opening day, and that's the year Mo Vaughn and who was the guy who was counterpart for a couple of years for the Yankees? Anyhow, they were both rookies that year. Mo Vaughn hit a home run off the right field pole at Yankee Stadium, but more importantly, Joe DiMaggio threw out the first pitch.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And just to see him walk out on the field and throw out the first pitch, it was so great. And about 10 or 12 rows, we were right behind home plate, so about 10 or 12 rows in front of us, Joe Pepitone was there.
Oh, the name.
And you know how in a crowd, I don't care how big it is, there's always a lull. At one point, and Pepitone's dressed to the nines as he always was, you know, he had on suit and he looked fabulous. And he stands up and everybody's sitting and it's very quiet. Just one of those, you know, every crowd has a lull. And a guy hollers out, "Hey, Pepitone, how many bottles of hairspray this morning?" And he just waved and said, 5.
I was going to say, I hope he said 3. Why? He gave him some kind of an answer.
Right. He gave him 5. Yeah. Here's why I love baseball right here. You ready? You ready, Doc?
People will come, Ray.
Oh.
They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have and peace they like.
Ray, just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers and sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game, and it'll be as if they'd dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and it could be again. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
7:14, the iconic James Earl Jones in the movie Field of Dreams. Every time I hear him do it, it brings me to tears because I agree with every word he said. Baseball has ruled this nation. It has helped lead the great changes of the country over the last 125 years, 150 years, actually. Baseball started in 1870s. Well, the Cincinnati Red Stockings started in 1869, but actual National League began in 1876. Dr. Peter Earl, David Jones.
Sign the papers, Ray.
I'm telling you. Because people will come.
Yeah. What a voice. He's
absolutely
one of the greatest.
What a message.
Yeah.
Because it really does speak about what baseball really stands for. It's so amazing. That's why the Yankees and the Dodgers are in the World Series, and I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. It'll be a good series. It really
will. It will.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, too. Like I said, I was kind of hoping for a Subway Series, but I'm good with old New York, too. By the way, do you know what you guys are both smart guys. You know what the original name was for the Dodgers? Do you know what the Dodgers were, what it means?
The Trolley Dodgers, yeah. They were, you
right.
Dodged the trolleys in Brooklyn.
Very good.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. They were called, people from Brooklyn were called Trolley Dodgers because apparently there were above grounds everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I think the Brooklyn Dodgers baseball franchise was probably the greatest in all of baseball. Because the players literally lived right there in Flatbush, and they would go to the grocery stores, and you would interact with them. Duke Snider, Jackie Robinson, you know, Roy Campanella, all those guys.
Everybody was successful.
Right there. Yeah, Brooklyn was different than all of the rest of baseball.
The Mets were pretty successful when they came out that year,
69
Mets. 62, yeah. Well, 69 Mets
was when they won the World Series.
Yeah,
well, they played at the Polo Grounds before they built Shea.
Yeah.
Right. They played at the Polo Grounds, and the Giants played at Ebbets Field.
Hmm. The Giants moved over to Ebbets Field?
No. The baseball Giants played at Ebbets Field.
They did?
Back before they became the San Francisco.
No. The baseball Giants played at Polo.
They played at Polo.
The Mets played at Polo because the Giants had left and went to and gone to San Francisco. But the Mets played at Polo Grounds, and Brooklyn played at Ebbets Field.
That's right.
And then they built Shea, and that's how and then they left the Polo Grounds, and so they eventually tore it down, and they tore down Ebbets Field as well, which, what a shame that was. Matt Jacobson's here. Yeah. Matt, say hello.
Hello.
We're talking baseball.
I've been listening.
With an economist.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's the perfect economist game.
Mm.
The thinking man's
very
game.
True.
I grew up a huge Dodger fan.
You did?
And all through the playoffs, my brother and I have been FaceTiming. He lives in Austin, Texas, and we're watching the games. And it has been that clip you played. It's brought back. We're 15 again at Dodger Stadium in the bleachers where I learned
absolutely
how to cuss in Mexican. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that clip brings me to tears. It does every time because it's so true. I mean, we grew up in Florida. There was not a major league team there at the time. Atlanta was the closest team, but we would go to spring training.
Right.
And, you know, the Dodgers trained at Vero Beach. Oh, yeah. No, it was amazing. Amazing.
Love baseball.
Mm. Well, it's going to be a good series. There's no doubt about it.
It is. It's going to be a great series. And, you know, when you think about it, he didn't give me his first name, but he says the Yankees used to be known as the Highlanders. That's right. They started off as the Highlanders, and I think they went 1903. They went to the Yankees.
1903,
I think
that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
But how many times in a World Series do you get the two best players? Hands down, nobody is saying
question. Yeah.
Judge and Ohtani are the two best players this year in the World Series. That's just so great.
Yeah, it's amazing. It truly is amazing. And you know what I hope? I hope that the players, I love Mookie Betts. He was at the Red Sox, you know, helped him win a World Series, won the MVP.
Yep.
I hope every one of the players play their absolute best. I hope nobody's in a slump.
Oh, I want seven games.
Nobody's hurt.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Go seven games.
I'd like to see the Dodgers win in four, but seven would be okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. My dad.
Well, we got a Dodgers fan at one end of the radio, and the other one sitting there with his Yankee
with,
fan.
With the Yankee. And my dad loved the Yankees, but he loved the Yankees specifically because of Mickey Mantle. He loved Mickey Mantle.
But he was the
but
man.
But you know what? Right? Do you know what's even bigger than the World Series? This is the latest since 1945 that both Army and Navy are undefeated.
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable.
This is
well, and you went to the Naval Academy, and Peter went to West Point.
Exactly right.
Peter, are you going sure. Are you going to the Air Force game on the 2nd of November?
No, I'll still be in the Southwest for that.
Oh, that's too bad. We are supposed to go. We're trying. You know, it's 3 days before the dadgum election, so we are supposed to be at that game.
I'm going to Notre Dame on Saturday.
Are you really?
Down in New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's
amazing. Oh, I love this so
much. I would love us to beat Notre Dame.
I love this so much more than talking about politics and all the other crap we talk about here. This is what I really love.
More.
This is what I really love.
Well, I hope that Peter uses all his influence to get the interest rate dropped by at least 1%.
We're supposed to go down on the 2nd, November 2nd, to West Point, and Dee Dee and I.
At the stadium.
And our friend Tyler Thomas, who's a season ticket holder there, he had a couple of extra tickets. He said, why don't you come down for Air Force? And I was supposed to be at the Army-Navy game the year they honored Ronald Reagan. My friend Claude Barraby had sideline passes for us.
Wow.
And unfortunately, I was just not able to go. So, you know, life got in the way. But I really want to go 2 weeks from now.
I'm pulling hard for Air Force.
Yeah. Oh, I bet you are. I don't know. Army's quarterback is pretty rugged.
He is.
He's
good. A beast.
He is pretty good.
No, just in full disclosure, Peter, I graduated from Annapolis and took my commission in the Air Force. So I have.
I
root for Navy, but in this case, I have some friends. Although in the last 10 years, I have given away a liquor store in Air Force Navy bets. And we finally won this year. And I got a little bit back, but man, it's been a rough couple of years.
Did you say it was 1945 since they last were both undefeated this late?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
and it's not since 1960 that they were both ranked at the same time.
Yeah, they're both ranked in the top 25. What are they, 23 and 24, I think?
Yeah.
Think about how crazy this is. How much money could you have made if you bet $1,000 that Army, Navy, and Vanderbilt would all be ranked in the top 25 this late in the season?
You would have won all of it. But, yeah, how they rank Army ahead of Navy, I don't get. But that's okay. That's all right. We could play twice this year.
Alphabetically put.
No,
right?
I think so. We could play twice this year. We could play in the conference championship, and we could play in the Army Navy game.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
So, week after week. So that could be really fun.
That's
series.
Amazing.
Yeah. Good
that's
fun.
Really crazy.
Good
fun.
Go Navy.
No doubt. Peter, it's 7:22. We haven't talked economics. We can continue on baseball and football, or we can go to economics. It's your choice.
I will leave it up. What do you think your audience would prefer to hear about? Baseball.
Well, I think they probably would. You know, I mean, this show is I wake up in the morning and that's what we talk about. So I'm excited. I'm excited. Look, we got a big contest coming up on November 5th. That's really important. We've got the wonderful World Series. I mean, you know, when you think about it, the Dodgers and the Yankees, that's a historic series. You know, my Gators are actually starting to show like they're maybe no longer a high school team, so that's kind of fun. They were playing like a junior high team, but now they've gone. They're in prep school. They're not quite in college yet, but they're getting there. And then Army Navy, you know, it's just I have all my life going back to high school wanting to go to the Army Navy game, and my friend Claude Barraby afforded me the opportunity twice, and both times I could not get there. So that's why I'm trying really hard to figure out how do I go to West Point on Saturday, November 2nd, 3 days before the election. I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm working on it.
Just do it.
Well, we got a big party coming up. By the way, Matt Jacobson, you want to come to our party on November the 5th. We're going to replicate the big party we had at the Regency Hotel.
We are having a victory
from 8 years
party
ago.
For Donald J. Trump.
Absolutely.
Maybe the 47th
which we did 8 years
States
ago.
Where are we doing it?
Regency Hotel.
Regency Hotel.
And their big ballroom. Absolutely. Going to be great food, a cash
as
bar,
always.
All the media, a 12 by 16 screen. That's what we did 8 years ago. We are replicating 8 years ago because we need good karma that night. That's
got right. it. Yeah. Got it. This is what we do.
Yeah.
I'm
absolutely.
In. I'm
I love
in.
It.
That'll be a good one. We're going to win. We're going to win. Right, Peter?
Peter can't say. He's a nonprofit. He can't say.
A nonprofit or a non
Peter instead of Peter the Economist?
Is he not a prophet or he works for a nonprofit?
He works for a nonprofit. Yes, he works for a nonprofit.
Works,
works either way.
Oh, I think he's an economic prophet, P R O P H E T.
Yeah.
But he works for a 501c3.
Earnings report.
You didn't know I could spell that word, did you?
There
you're
you
laughing
go,
at me.
I was just laughing.
Earnings reports this week. Right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What are we looking at earnings reports wise, Peter?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of companies are going to actually have a little of, you know, really an easy time beating the estimates for the quarter because they've actually been kind of coming down lately. If you look at a graph, the earnings estimates have come down over the course of the year for this quarter. So it's going to be pretty easy for a lot of companies to beat them, which is good. On the other hand, you know, we still have a couple of stocks out there that are really disproportionately weighted and affecting the indices. And of course, I'm talking about, you know, the Mag 7, in particular, NVIDIA and Tesla. There's really two big things happening this week, and they both happen tomorrow. Two if you group them together. The first is, of course, that the Beige Book comes out, and Powell likes the Beige Book because he gets, you know, he gets sort of a feel on what's happening on the ground in the various Fed districts. You know, it sort of gives, it's literally a beige book that has reports on every different region of the country and how growth is, employment. It often usually has quotes from businesses, that sort of thing. And then also we have both Boeing and we have Tesla earnings tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, Tesla, of course, is one of the Mag 7. Boeing is also, that's a company that's had some, it's hit some sharp turbulence, to use a sort of a lousy pun, but that's the big stuff this week. I think earnings are going to go fine. The market is really, really highly valued. I mean, it's in the stratosphere, but we may get a good GDP number next week, and if earnings are good, as I think they are, who knows? I mean, the market can defy gravity.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Okay, if we had a psychiatrist here, I would ask that person to be a counselor for a moment. But we have an economist who also used to be a trader on Wall Street. So I'm going to ask you this question. You may not have kept up with it, but I'm just curious. I'm not asking you to say, should we buy, should we not buy? But what are the fundamentals you would look at? As you may know, Newsmax is floating an IPO. And, you know, Newsmax really feels like they can step into the space that Fox used to hold. Fox used to have a stranglehold on the conservative movement of the country. And then after the 2020 election, a lot of that started moving. A lot of it moved to Newsmax. So if you were to look at something like a new, have you followed this at all?
I do know that they're doing an IPO, and I know that because I'm on every Tuesday morning, so I hear their news and the news about the news.
Yeah, so how do you go about, I mean, like when Sam Adams had an IPO back in the 90s, we bought into that because we just thought, how cool would it be to own a piece of Sam Adams? So we did.
There
you go. Sure. And when the Cleveland Indians went public, I bought some of that stock only because it wasn't for necessarily an investment, just to say my name was on a stock certificate that said I owned a piece of the Cleveland Indians. But Newsmax is a little different because they're trying to step into a space Fox used to just completely own. How do you go about evaluating an IPO like that? That's what I'm more interested in. Not telling me whether we should or should not. But how do you go about evaluating an IPO?
So I, you know, unless, generally speaking, I say, you know, go for diversification, right? You know, I despite the 30 years I've been at this and the 21 years I was on Wall Street, I mostly do 401ks and that kind of stuff. Big, you know, mutual funds, lots and lots of stocks. I generally don't do stock pick. However, if you were going to look at an individual stock or an IPO, a couple of things you would look for. First of all, you would like them to be profitable. You'd like them to at least be, you know, have kind of like low cash burn if they still need to, you know, get that critical mass to become profitable. You also want to look at it. You also want to see if they're in a niche where, you know, they sort of own the market, right? I mean, if they're one of a million different companies, you know, it's as likely that the IPO is just, you know, creating a liquidity event for insiders as actually giving the opportunity to buy into a company. You know, so you know, with something like Newsmax, a company like that, a media company, you know, you're basically buying their personalities because they don't have any sort of unique, you know, trademarks or intellectual property. You know, you're really buying into talent. And people should ask themselves, do you think that with this infusion of cash, they're going to be able to sort of, you know, get more traction and get more personalities? And, you know, how much of a dent can they make in the market they're in? That sort of thing. So, I mean, I guess all that sort of boils down to, how well do you think they're positioned for continued growth? Or, I mean, if you look at it this way, sometimes I look at it like this, I'd say, how likely is it that they'll grow enough that somebody will want to buy them, right? Take them out of the game, because that's a great end game, too. So, you know, how unique is the offering? You know, how is their basic financial position? Are they profitable? Are they unprofitable? Are they close to profitable? That sort of thing. Those are the things I look for.
So let's look at Newsmax just for the heck of it. And again, I'm not asking for a recommendation here, but one of the things Newsmax has said is that this IPO may allow them to have the resources to break into all the cable markets. Currently, they're on some cable markets, and in other places they're not. But if they were able to be on all the cable markets, like, say, Fox is or MSDNC is, then that would give them a competitive advantage. Do you agree with that statement?
If they can raise enough money where they can get in front of more eyes, and they can also, you know, maybe poach some talent. So, you know, one of the things about doing IPO is that all of a sudden now you have this public paper that's valued. So you can probably lure away some of the big talent from the Foxes and from the other networks, you know, with that stock. So, I certainly think if the money is substantial, if the money they make from the offering is substantial enough to get them in front of more eyes, get them on more cable channels, you know, maybe create a Newsmax financial subsidiary, that sort of thing. Yeah, absolutely. Or maybe even allow them to do some acquisitions. There's some smaller networks out there,
right,
which have very devoted followings, and they could buy them. So it's, it's interesting. I'll definitely be looking at it and following along. As for buying it, I haven't really thought about it. But
I didn't realize you were on. I knew you were on there, but I didn't realize you were on there every Tuesday. So we'll make a point of looking at that. You know, the thing is, when Fox came along, you know, 25 years ago or whatever it was, they stepped into a space, frankly, that didn't really exist.
Right.
They created
market
a market. Right. Absolutely. And then they did exactly what you just talked about, which is create a financial network to go along with it that really wasn't so enamored with politics as it was just economic data. Charles Payne has done such a good job with that network, as has Stuart Varney. So you're saying that if you believe that Newsmax could create the kind of personalities, let's say that a Stuart Varney and a Charles Payne are, that this may be something to take a look at.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that having public paper does for you. I mean, when you go public, of course, you're generating tons and tons of expenses in terms of shareholder relations and compliance and all that. But I mean, I especially if there's a perception that Fox has drifted away from its mandate, you know, it could be Newsmax could be poised to fill that gap and, grow from there. I haven't seen the financials. If you want, I'll take a quick look before we talk next week. But I mean, like, what I would want to know right now is, are they profitable? And if not, how close to being profitable are they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who are you on with on Tuesdays?
I am on the Market Open show from it's really at 9:27 or so until maybe 9:35. Usually they ask me one or two questions about the day ahead in the market.
Well, and we obviously, as you mentioned, rightfully so, Tesla has its earnings coming out tomorrow, so that's big. We have got to run. We're so late, but the information you provided was really good, and I love the baseball sports talk. It was fabulous. David
Thanks
Jones,
so
say goodbye
fun.
To our friend Peter Earle.
We'll see you later, Peter. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
The doctor has literally been in the house.
The doctor is in the house.
Yeah. Peter, thank you so much for being
and
on.
And
really
hey, if you're
it.
Up here next on Election Day, come on to the party.
I'll come
We'd
out to the party.
As our
Absolutely.
Guest.
Yeah, wouldn't that,
that
be
would
fun?
Be great. Yeah, I would love that.
So you are not You are not going to Army Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium.
No, I won't be. Right now I don't have any plans of making any of the games this year, unfortunately. Although that could change.
Matt, you are going.
I'm going to Navy Notre Dame at
Navy Notre Dame.
What did I say?
Army Notre Dame, I meant.
Army and Notre Dame are playing at Yankee Stadium, and Navy and Notre Dame are playing at the
Meadowlands. All I really can see is orange and blue. You guys know that. So, hey, Peter, as always, we appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Have a great week, guys.
It is 7:33.
My name is Kenny Chinkett. You may know me as the founder of Eric's Church Bar and Grill and Window, but this advertisement is to support my candidacy for Maine State Senate. Being a lifelong Mainer, I know we can get taxes and the cost of living back down while we grow wages. So if you live in Westbrook, Windham, Raymond, Casco, or Fry Island, then I humbly ask for your vote this election to represent you in Augusta, because Maine deserves better. Paid for and authorized by Kenny for Senate.
This is Vern Dukes, and you know me as a trucker of truth. Let me lay this truth on you. New Gloucester's new restaurant, Cafe 1055, located at 1055 Lewiston Road in New Gloucester, is open for breakfast and lunch, starting at 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday through Friday.